This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Historic flooding in the Palmetto State. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Kashenka, it's Monday, October 5th. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Devastating floods have hit central South Carolina, where a handful of people have been killed and hundreds have been rescued.
Four high school students in Northern California have been arrested in connection with a plot to carry out a mass shooting on campus.
On a lighter note, are job growth expectations too high? Here, the surprisingly low number of jobs that one observer feels we should be creating each month.
And why some presidential candidates are traveling to far-flung locales for support.
They're looking for people who will go to the national convention and vote for a certain candidate and try and lock down the support before people even vote. Territories count as part of this, so people are going very far afield.
Katie Zesma at the Washington Post explains why a White House wannabe would visit places like Guam or American Samoa. She's here in about 10 minutes. Boy, what a deadly mess in South Carolina. You've heard the phrase, right? A 100-year storm. South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley says part of her state was hit with rainfall that would be expected to occur once in 1,000 years.
This is different than a hurricane because it's water and it's slow moving and it's sitting, and we can't just take the water out. So as long as it sits, we just need to do the best we can at controlling the environment around it and the situation around it.
Torrential rainfall triggered flooding yesterday, causing at least 8 deaths in both South and North Carolina. The storm had dumped more than 20 inches of rain in parts of central South Carolina since Friday, according to the National Weather Service. The state climatologist says another 2 to 6 could fall by the time it backs off today. The Congaree River is at its highest level, get this, since 1936.
If you are in your house, stay in your house. This is not something to be out taking pictures of. This is not something that you want your kids playing in. The water's not safe.
State emergency officials urged residents not to travel due to unsafe roads, and curfews were imposed in 8 cities or counties, including Columbia, the capital. Schools and universities canceled classes for today. And how about this? A 70-mile stretch of Interstate 95 was closed because of high water. Four Northern California high school students are under arrest after authorities uncovered what they're calling a highly detailed plan to shoot and kill fellow students and teachers. The four are all students at Somerville High School in Tuolumne, which is about 140 miles east of San Francisco. Sheriff James Mealy says the students were going to come on campus and shoot and kill as many people as possible.
I believe with all my heart the reason why we were able to stop this was because we have a level of trust within our community.
He did not identify the students other than to say they were all male juveniles. Investigators say there's not a clear motive, but added that the suspects' plans included names of would-be victims, plus locations and methods in which the plan was to be carried out. The students planned to open fire during an event at school, apparently, and were in the process of trying to obtain weapons. Officials said the plot was foiled last Wednesday when a group of students alerted a teacher after they overheard 3 of the 4 discussing a plan to open fire on the school. Doctors Without Borders is calling for an independent investigation of the deadly bombing of its hospital in the Afghan city of Kunduz. Officials say aerial bombardments blew apart the medical facility about the time of a U.S. airstrike early Saturday, killing at least 22 people. The charity says the explosions left part of the hospital in flames and rubble, killing 12 staffers and 10 patients and injuring 37 others. Jason Cohn is executive director of Doctors Without Borders.
if the hospital had been threatened and the armed various armed groups operating in the city had demonstrated that they were not going to respect our facility prior to the bombing, we would have suspended operations and we would have evacuated our staff and our patients.
As the U.S. said it was investigating what struck the hospital during the night, the charity stressed that all combatants had been told long ago where the hospital was. The hospital, by the way, is no longer operational. CNN says a representative of the police chief in Kunduz said that when the attacks happened, a number of Taliban were hiding in the hospital compound. It's 11 minutes now, after the hour. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. First, going to the post office takes up valuable time, and leasing a postage meter is expensive with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save at least 50% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal. If you spotted a Republican presidential candidate in the Virgin Islands at this point of the primary campaign, you might think he or she was catching a breather from the hectic schedule or maybe slacking off. But Katie Zesma at the Washington Post says with a packed and unpredictable field, several candidates are veering far from the traditional campaign trail, stumping in far-flung locales such as Guam and American Samoa early in the primary process. She joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Katie, what's this about?
A number of presidential campaigns are looking way beyond the continental United States and going to the U.S. territories. Those include Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, some others in the Pacific Ocean. And the reason they're doing this is because, as we all know, the presidential campaign is very, very packed. There are quite a few people. And they are looking for delegates. They are looking for people who will go to the national convention and vote for a certain candidate and try and lock down the support before people even vote. So territories count as part of this, so people are going very far afield.
All right. So the territories have, what'd you call them? The votes at the convention?
They vote at the convention, yes.
If
you are a resident
right?
of a U.S. territory, you cannot vote for president, but you can vote for people to send to the convention who will then cast delegate ballots for a certain candidate.
Wow. And so poor you. You had to make this trip to feel it out. Explain.
I did. I had to go to the U.S. Virgin Islands just to see what was going on. And what I saw there was Senator Ted Cruz, who is running for president, dispatched his father, who's a pastor, and a political operative who's working for his campaign to the Virgin Islands. They went to two of the three. And there they held political meetings. They met with a group in a park on one island. They met with a group at another, kind of a beach bar type place. It was beautiful. The sun was setting behind them, and they talked about how they can try and really turn out Republicans on these islands, which actually have a very small number of registered Republicans at this moment.
Wow. So who's made a couple of trips there?
So Senator Cruz has dispatched people to the territories. He sent a political consultant who is working for him to Guam, Samoa, and the Northern Mariana Islands for more than a month, where he kind of encountered a very atypical trail hazard, which was a typhoon. And he held meetings and basically convinced everyone that he could to register Republican and to support Senator Cruz in the delegate race. They're also eventually going to go to Puerto Rico, and this trip to the U.S. Virgin Islands is really to kind of shore up their support there.
Where does visiting those or say collecting support there rank with first in the nation state like Iowa?
So well, everyone says you need to do well in the first four states in Iowa or New Hampshire or South Carolina or Nevada, but there are two issues with this election. Number one is that there are so many people. So there are so many people that people want to try and get support beyond those states as early as possible. So if they don't do so well in them, they can come out of them and potentially fare better in later nominating contests. And the other issue is that the calendar is very compressed right now. So there's going to be a whole lot of states voting in March. So once you're done with the first few nominating contests, you go right into March, where there's going to be a ton of delegates and a ton of support, and you kind of need to lock them down now. You know, work on this dual strategy of going to Iowa quite a bit and New Hampshire and South Carolina, but also really putting the time in to these later contests. So Cruz went on a bus tour around the South in August. Bush has been in other places, Rubio as well. You know, they're going to places that candidates don't normally go to right now. Like a lot of them have been in Michigan, in Georgia. A few people went to Wyoming. They're naming state chairs in Alaska. Rand Paul went to Alaska to campaign. So it's really, they're calling it the quote-unquote long game to go far beyond the, you know, the traditional early primary states.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Zesma from The Washington Post. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to the search for a U.S. cargo ship that was lost during Hurricane Joaquin off the southeastern Bahamas has turned up more clues, but no word yet on the fates of the vessel or its 33-member crew. Aircraft and ships taking part in the search located a container and other debris that appeared to have come from the 790-foot El Faro. The Senate is scheduled to vote this week on a defense policy bill that could affect more than 1 million members of the military and their families. The biggest change is the implementation in 2018 of a retirement system that would allow military members to put money into a 401k type account with 5% matched by the government. The House already has approved the $612 billion bill. Doctors Without Borders is calling for an independent investigation of the deadly bombing of its hospital in the Afghan city of Kunduz, which it says is no longer operational. Aerial bombardments blew apart the medical facility about the time of a U.S. airstrike early Saturday, killing at least 22 people. Jason Cohn, executive director for Doctors Without Borders in the U.S., wants answers.
There's the immediate loss of life that took place of the bombing, the disgusting murder of my colleagues and our patients, many who died burned alive in their beds, and then the loss that we're going to have of people who are going to die because they don't have access to medical care anymore.
Cohn says all combatants had been told long ago where the hospital was. Syrian activists say ISIS militants have destroyed a nearly 2,000-year-old arch in the ancient city of Palmyra, the latest victim in the group's campaign to destroy historic sites across the territory it controls in Iraq and Syria. And for the first time in the 60 years since Disneyland opened, Disney is considering switching to demand-based pricing at its domestic parks, where tickets would cost less or provide added benefits on slower days and cost extra or come with more restrictions on dates when there tend to be too many people. Disney also revamped its annual and season pass system, raising prices while adding new benefits such as free parking.
That's a page right out of the NFL's playbook, isn't it?
Yeah.
That
supply and demand.
Supply and demand. Very good. Thanks, Jen. It's 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Good Monday morning. What's ahead for the stock market? Bankrate.com has released the results of its fourth quarter Market Mavens survey. It takes the pulse of top investment strategists from all around the country, asking them not only their outlook on the markets, but also where they see potential pockets of opportunity. Mark Hamrick is Washington Bureau Chief at Bankrate.com. Mark, what can we expect?
If you're just wondering about the direction of, for example, the U.S. stock market, taken together, our Bankrate Market Mavens see a 9% increase in the S&P 500 over the next 12 months. Their median forecast puts the S&P at about 21.22. The S&P stood at 1950 when we took the survey. And about three-quarters of the Mavens see the market higher over the next year. Only 7% saw it lower. In terms of where the best returns come from, the Market Mavens are now looking to the U.S. I think that has been helped by the fact that prices have come back down with the pullback in the market. And so 47% look for the best returns in the U.S., 33% look to international markets, and 20% say the returns will be about the same. We asked the Market Mavens about the risks of a bear market, and 47%, or about half of the Market Mavens, say the odds are between 1 in 4 and 1 in 2, and that is up substantially. In other words, the risks have grown from when we asked them the question last time. And if you put the probabilities all together, in other words, we asked them of the probability of a bear market developing over the next 12 months, the average came in at 56%. So that suggests that the majority risk is that there is a bear market. And finally, and I think this is perhaps as important as anything, we asked the Market Mavens whether Americans are willing to to invest in the stock market in ways that might be similar to before the financial crisis and Great Recession. And about 9 out of 10 said that Americans are less willing to invest now than they were before the financial crisis.
We're speaking with Mark Hamrick. He's the Washington Bureau Chief at Bankrate.com. We're talking about their latest Market Mavens survey. That number you mentioned before, about 93% of these experts concerned about China. How long does that last? Is that now forever kind of? We have an eye on the Chinese economy?
Well, as long as we have a globally connected economy, I think it's something that has to be on the radar screen. And we find ourselves with a variety of cross currents, none of which feel very good, right? Because we're all interconnected. 30 years ago, we wouldn't have said that so much. And clearly, if China is reporting, admittedly even questionable data in the terms of its credibility, that it is slowing. We try to pick up sort of independent data as best we can. We know that that can have impacts not only on the United States but on all of China's other trading partners. It hurts South Korea, which needs to export to China as well. And so we do feel that would be chill wind, and it's just hard to imagine a scenario on down the road where we no longer care about the performance of the international economy. We don't wall off our border or the economy in the United States in a way that we might have decades ago, because we all are connected in the financial markets and through world trade.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief at Bankrate.com. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack, when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 1313 to checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 1313.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Good Monday morning, October 5. Welcome aboard. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Kashenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: deadly and historic flooding in South Carolina, murder plot foiled at a California high school, Philadelphia College is on guard after threats against what authorities are calling an unspecified institution, the Coast Guard is looking for a freighter that went missing in Hurricane Joaquin, the Supreme Court begins a new term today, and how about this? Orbitz.com says during the next week, from today till next Monday, is the best time to buy airline tickets for Thanksgiving travel. And guess who says he can help the Buccaneers' troubled kicking game? That story in about 20 minutes. One person not getting worked up over the weak employment figure released by the Labor Department for September, MarketWatch columnist Rex Nutting. He says, put the 142,000 jobs added to the payrolls in perspective, because 150,000 is not the new normal. He says the new normal should be 33,000 jobs added each month. Rex, how do you figure?
We don't really need that many jobs, new jobs, just to absorb the new population growth for each month. We do need lots of job growth to absorb all the people who are out of work, however. So for the next few years, we're going to need some pretty fast growth. But after that, it's really going to slow, because the population is not growing very fast at all. So we'll probably just need around 30,000 to 50,000 jobs a month to keep the unemployment rate steady.
That's unbelievable. I thought I remember reading or hearing at some point that we needed somewhere around $300,000 a month to kind of make up for what was lost during the recession, combined with the number of new bodies becoming eligible to work each month.
Yeah, well, you know, we've been having around 200,000 new jobs a month for the last few years, and that's brought the unemployment rate way down. It's down to 5.1%, and it was 10% during the recession. So we really have made a lot of progress in bringing those people back to work. However, we have to realize there really are a lot of people still on the sidelines. By my estimate, it's probably around 2 million people who would like to work but can't find a job right now. And that's a big problem we've got in our economy right this second.
Does that estimated 2 million figure, you say the people are on the sidelines, those who have no work at all and those who'd like to work more than,
yeah,
say, just part-time hours?
What I'm trying to estimate is what's the normal rate of unemployment in the economy when we're doing well. We're always going to have some people between jobs,
yeah.
But we have about 2 million more right now than we usually do. It's around 16 million right now, and that's way too high.
We're speaking with Rex Nutting, columnist at MarketWatch. He's got a piece entitled, "For Job Growth, 33,000, not 150,000, is the New Normal." Explain to maybe the psychology of that. Will there be some sort of psychological adjustment if, in fact, that new normal is going to be significantly lower than what we're used to?
Yeah, I really think that's true. You know, we see presidential candidates saying we need to get 4% growth. The reality is if the population is growing at less than 1%, it really means 4% growth. It just is unattainable unless we have tremendous productivity increases in the workplace so we can all get much more done and grow much faster. So really, 2% growth is about what we can achieve. And it's very hard for people to get their heads around that our potential growth rate has slowed so much, but it's really just demographics.
Why is the working age population growing so slowly?
We didn't have as many babies 35, 40 years ago as we did 60 years ago. So the number of people in that age group of, say, 35 to 45 is actually shrinking over the last few years as more and more people, you know, age into the, you know, above 60. We're having a lot more people who are older, who are retired, and they're not in the working age population anymore. And we've got kind of a little baby boom going now, so we have lots of little, you know, young kids.
Yeah.
But we don't have that many adults. At least the population isn't growing very fast for the adult population between 20 and 60.
We need these people working, Rex, so you and I can comfortably retire. We need
their
tax dollars.
Absolutely. We need to get everybody to have a job who wants and needs one. The most important job we've got, or, you know, most important task for our country right now is to get people back to work.
Thanks, Rex. MarketWatch columnist Rex Nutting. Wow. That's a staggering number he's throwing out, isn't it? Saying only 33,000 jobs are needed each month? I can't properly digest that at this time. It's 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Do you want to learn how to steal customer credit card information from major retailers so you can buy anything you want?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's award-winning firewalls prevent hackers from taking your valuable data to the bank. Reclaim your network like 150,000 other businesses have. To learn more about protecting customer data and your reputation, visit barracuda.com/firewalls.
Welcome aboard. If you travel a lot for business, you may have noticed this trend. Airlines have been inflating premium cabin offerings, cooking up special cabins for particular routes, and moving more international planes into domestic service. Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney says, as a result, some travelers don't know what they'll actually get when they buy a first-class ticket or land an upgrade. Scott, what's going on here?
If you go looking on some flights for first class, you're likely to pay a higher price than if you searched for business class. The business class price puts you in the same first class seat, but it's often $600 less. And so if you don't know that, you may pay more. A guy in New Jersey going to L.A., his son raves about first class service on American between JFK and Los Angeles on the Airbus A321. So he sees Airbus A321s flying from Philadelphia to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Buys the first class ticket thinking he's going to get what his son's been raving about.
Oh,
it's nothing like it.
Wow.
It's completely different. And American says the only way to tell the difference is the seat map.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney about trying to identify specifically what first class is these days, since it can be different on really the same route and same carrier sometimes. You mentioned the fares are not the only source of confusion because the airlines have different names. You mentioned United's got front of the airplane labeling, right? Global First, United Business First, and United First. I mean, what the heck does that all mean?
Right. So three different names for the front of the airplane. Both United and American have, I can count at least three different versions of first class. They have flying in domestic markets, international markets, even more different. Global First is first class on airplanes that have three different cabins and only on long-haul flights. The naming thing, the interesting one that came up recently is Delta One. So Delta used to have Business Elite, and that was essentially international first class. Delta doesn't offer international first class, only business class. But they've improved the business class product quite a bit. So it's essentially first class, but they don't want to call it first class because a lot of companies won't allow their employees to travel first class on long-haul international. So they came up with Delta One, which is supposed to sound better than business class, be priced like business class, and yet Delta One is actually a whole lot better than Delta's first class product.
You need a flip card to follow along. Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal airline writer and travel editor Scott McCartney, who's based in Dallas. It's 14 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. You may have noticed this. Since the massacre at Umpqua Community College in Oregon last week, Douglas County Sheriff John Hanlon has repeatedly stood before TV cameras and briefed the public on the investigation, but he never once has uttered the name of the shooter, Christopher Harper Mercer.
Media will get the name confirmed in time, but you will never hear me mention his name.
Sheriff Hanlon is one of a growing number of U.S. law enforcement officials actively avoiding naming the suspects in mass shootings, noting that many cite prior killers as inspiration and seem to be motivated by a desire for infamy. Crime experts say there's little research on whether publicity of mass shooting inspires others to commit similar acts, in part because it's difficult to discern the motivation of perps who often end up dead, like Mr. Harper Mercer. Some also argue that it's important to share as many details as possible about suspects so that the public can identify potential warning signs and prevent future shooting sprees. 8 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to more door-to-door search operations are planned today in South Carolina, where hundreds of people already have been rescued from fast-moving floodwaters. A powerful rainstorm swamped hundreds of businesses and homes, and emergency workers waded into waist-deep water to help people trapped in cars. Ian Waltz and his family were among those rescued.
And I opened our bedroom door, which goes to the back deck, and the water was all the way up to our deck, which is 8 feet up off the water.
East Coast rains have resulted in at least 7 weather-related deaths. House Republicans are in upheaval as their frontrunner for Speaker faces fresh opposition and conservatives push to postpone leadership elections. Jason Chaffetz of Utah announced his candidacy for Speaker yesterday, presenting himself as a new face who can unite the House in the wake of John Boehner's sudden resignation last month. Boehner's deputy, Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California, remains the favorite, but Chaffetz's candidacy ensures there will be no coronation. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton will unveil new gun control measures today aimed at strengthening background checks on gun buyers and eliminating legal immunity for sellers. Clinton plans to propose a repeal of legislation that shields gun manufacturers, distributors, and dealers from most liability suits. The Supreme Court is starting a new term today that promises a steady stream of divisive social issues. Cases will deal with the death penalty, abortion, race and college admissions, and the power of public sector unions. Cases on immigration and state restrictions on voting could also make it to the court in the next 9 months. And the Transformers movie franchise, which has been raking in money and mostly bad reviews since 2007, is not anywhere near finished. Hasbro Studios president Stephen Davis announced over the weekend that there are plans in the works not just for a fifth Transformers, but for a sixth, seventh, and eighth. The most recent, last year's Transformers Age of Extinction, made more than $1 billion at the worldwide box office, so perhaps it's no wonder that Hasbro wants to keep it going.
Wow. No need to reinvent the wheel. Jeez.
8 movies are the same thing. Come on.
I haven't even seen the first one. Then I won't. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally, and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com. Thanks for being with us. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers decide to make a change at kicker, Connor Barth wants to know or wants to let the world know that he's available. ESPN says Barth, the Bucs kicker for four seasons from 09 through 2012, tweeted yesterday afternoon that he remains available as a free agent. The timing was interesting, right, with rookie Kyle Brinza going 1-for-3 with a mixed extra point in yesterday's 37-23 loss to the Carolina Panthers. Brinza has made an underwhelming 6 of 12 field goal attempts and 6 of 8 extra points this season. Bucs coach Lovie Smith supported Brinza after a rough showing in Week 3 against the Texans, but he was less forgiving of the rookie yesterday, saying, "We're not going to start kicking people off in the press conference after the game," but added, "We're disappointed in Kyle's play today." Brinza said he's uncertain what his future holds. He knows his performance yesterday created doubts about his future. He said, "Today was horrible, just like last week. I have to somehow get over this." Hey, well, maybe he could play defense because the Bucs are giving up an average of 29 points a game. Or quarterback, right? Winston threw 3 picks yesterday. I think their problems are much worse than the kicking. For Jennifer, I'm Gordon. Thanks for listening to This Morning.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service with voice over internet. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be spending some me time at the spa." But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on by a masseuse named Moonshadow, but with its nose to the grindstone, transforming communications for your business by making it better. With a cloud-based infrastructure that grows as your business grows, seamless mobility between all devices so you don't miss that important call, even while Moonshadow is walking down your spine. And all for less than you think. So while you're getting your mani-pedi, Vonage's toenails remain a complete disaster, because Vonage is still out there working to make more better. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call Vonage at 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.